Welcome to America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. That, of course, is David Bowie singing Fame, which is a perfect lead-in to my next guest. His name is Ty Burr. He's the film critic for the Boston Globe and author of a book called Gods Like Us on Movie Stardom and Modern Fame, in which he traces the history of movie stars from the very earliest post-Edison days right up until modern times, about the problems of being famous, about the people who want to achieve fame, and about exactly how the studio system made it all possible. Ty, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm fascinated by the stories that you tell from every decade here, but I'd like to go back to something relatively recent, and that is the 1990s, in a chapter you have entitled The Corporate Star. What does that mean, the corporate star?
Well, what it means is, back in the early days of the movie industry, the movies were put out by movie studios, independent companies that created stars, that had stables of stars, that contracted them, that put out all the movies. As you move into the 1990s, those studios have declined. They declined in the 50s and 60s and were bought up by larger companies. And then those larger companies get snapped up by massive entertainment corporations. So really, we've got about six or seven major entertainment corporations putting out pretty much everything you see and consume in entertainment now. And that, going along with the rise of the agents in the 1980s and 1990s and packaging stars, their clients, together with scripts, they've taken over sort of the job of creating movies and getting movies made from the studios. What it means is that you have stars that can often be almost seem like corporate product. They're people that everybody has to agree on.
Not only that, now we have people who are famous not for having accomplished anything, but famous for being famous. And yes, I am going to use the word Kardashian.
Yes, Kardashian has become a shorthand adjective now for valueless celebrity. I would argue, actually, that there have always been people famous for nothing but being famous. If you go back to the 20s and the rise of tabloid newspapers, there were, heiresses, and there were, May-December marriages between billionaires and then dance hall girls, and those people were well-known. But what's changed now is that the many different platforms for disseminating this kind of information, they're just infinite. You've got all these weekly tabloid magazines. You've got the gossip sites on the internet. You've got, you've got 500 channels to fill with reality shows. You've got blogs. You've got tweets. You've got, all of that space has to be filled with entertainment. Well, presumably it could be filled with information and useful content, but we also like to be diverted. So a lot of that airspace gets filled with people who may not have really accomplished a lot or, give great performances, but that are interesting in one way or another to some people, not necessarily me.
On the other hand, I'm fascinated by the fact that there are people like Meryl Streep and Matt Damon, to choose two contemporary people, who are very well known for their work, but I mean, I don't pick up the newspaper, the supermarket tabloids, and I don't read a lot of the gossip stuff, but it's my impression that Streep and Damon and people like that, maybe because they don't particularly reach for fame and publicity in that way, get it for their work and not for what's going on in their personal lives.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you have to think about with any celebrity, anybody who's famous, is think about what their persona is. Think about the representation of humanity that they offer. Everybody sort of offers a different story of how to behave in the world. And every movie star has one. And it goes changes throughout their career. And with somebody like Meryl Streep, there have always been people who we've looked to for the craft. And we really don't need to know their personal story. Their persona is their talent. Nobody's really interested in what Meryl Streep does, after she leaves the set and goes home. She seems rather happily dull, in a good way, because we get what we need from her performances. And I would argue it's the same way with Matt Damon and people like Jodie Foster, who we admire and we respect, and we attach respect to, because they seem to be doing something worthy, which in this case is, artistic performance. And in the case of Streep, people are Daniel Day-Lewis. People are in awe of what they do on screen. So we really don't need that extra story.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr, whose book is called Gods Like Us on Movie Stardom and Modern Fame. As I mentioned at the top, you cover the entire history of movies, back to the very earliest ones, which makes me ask, who was the very first real movie star? Who was the first person who crowds showed up and mobbed whenever he or she appeared?
Well, the very first actor billed by name, and one thing you have to understand is for the first 15 years of the movie industry, they didn't bill stars by name. They didn't bill actors by name. You got the title and the name of the company that made it, and the executives didn't understand that people were going to the movies to see the people in them. And the first actress billed by name was an actress named Florence Lawrence, who's completely forgotten now, but was very popular then. And she was actually the subject of the first mob scene when she had a personal appearance at a St. Louis train station, and thousands of people showed up and sort of went nuts about her, and she didn't understand what was going on, and the studio didn't nobody understood what was going on, even the fans. But the first real movie star, as we understand it, in that she was just popular across the country and around the globe, really, was Mary Pickford, who was a very sharp, smart young actress. I swear to God, if she was alive today, she'd be running a movie studio. But her persona was that of this plucky, you know, young girl. She played Heidi. She played Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. Into her 30s, she was playing, you know, plucky 12-year-old heroines. And it boxed her in, and she wanted to do other things, but she was too smart about her persona and her popularity. She didn't want to mess with it. So really, all through the silent era, she was the biggest star. She was the one that everybody, you know, agreed on was just something special. And when you look at her earliest performances, you can see what set her apart from the pack. There's nothing stagey about her. She's very present. She's funny. She's delightful to look at. She seems there, and she seems real.
One of the lessons that I take from looking through Gods Like Us is that people who want to be famous should be very careful what they wish for, because sometimes it does not work out. You know, you want to be famous and rich and have everybody know your name, but sometimes that can be a burden, can it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the double-edged sword of fame, is that you want to be seen, you know, and that's why people show up in Hollywood. You know, they want to be famous. They want to be seen. They want to be seen for themselves. Ironically, acting is pretending to be somebody else, but that's not why a lot of people want to become famous. They want to be seen. But then when you're seen by a lot of people, when you reach it, and you go through every day and, you know, 30 times an hour, people are coming up to ask to take pictures of you with their cell phones and asking for autographs or stalking you, or the paparazzi are outside your house. I think it's certainly clear that, you know, you may wonder what you've traded it in for.
What does the reality TV era say about fame?
Well, one of the things that I sort of explore in my book is how the audience has always desired fame. I mean, we adore these movie gods, but we also want some of it for ourselves. And the story of technology over the last 100 years is how gradually, step by step, with each new machine, it brings the tools of being famous closer and closer to us. So with the internet, you know, we can invent our own personas, as many as we want, on all our different platforms, on Twitter, on our blog, on Second Life, on Facebook. And we can manufacture our personas that we think maybe reflect us the best we want to be reflected. Reality TV, I think, is a version of that. It's this urge to celebrate ordinary people, but also package them in stories. And, of course, you know, reality TV is hardly real. It's very heavily edited. It's set up. You know, it's about narrative. It's about following stories. We get the same things from reality TV that we, you know, or supposedly get from movies, which is stories about human beings in their interactions. But there's this frisson of thrill that we're seeing, quote, real people. And that's always been there to one degree or another in the culture. You know, think back to the 50s and remember Queen for a Day on TV?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was like an early version of reality TV. That's always been there. But now it's just it's a market force and a well-established channel of entertainment. We're still just getting stories about people.
It occurs to me that it's not just a matter of fame anymore, but sometimes it's a matter of scandal. You know, Lindsay Lohan is in the new Scary Movie 5 that comes out this weekend. She and Charlie Sheen are in it for about 3 minutes. They don't really do anything in the movie. I'm sure as a movie reviewer, you had to sit through this piece of trash. But we have people whose scandal is what their fame is all about.
Right. That's what defines them. That becomes their persona. Look at somebody like Mel Gibson, who's been through so many different personas in his career, each one kind of crazier than the next.
Yep.
And his meaning now is less of a movie star. The story that he tells as a persona is not about being a movie star. Same with Lindsay Lohan. It's a cautionary tale, and it's also become a weird kind of twisted form of entertainment.
Ty Burr, film critic for the Boston Globe. The book is a great read. It's called Gods Like Us on Movie Studios and Modern Fame. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks.
Paul Harris.
America Weekend.